Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2024 American Express down there in wonderful Palm Springs, California. It's Pro-Am. You know how we feel about that. So we'll talk about that and much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I know we're a day later. Thanks for rescheduling on that. Sure. It's one of those events where might as well be a no-cut event when you really look at it, but it's a birdie fest for 3 days. It gets cut down after 3 days, and there's three different golf courses, and there's six-hour rounds. But other than that, how was your weekend? How was your experience watching the Sony, which we had some fun texts back and forth?
I turned it on there when they were playing the last few holes, and that was the really pretty much all that I watched, because my bets were awful. My one team that I made, awful. So not a great week from that perspective. But yeah, the placement of the hospitality tents on 18 at Hawaii is just at this point gone into infamy. That's the least third or fourth time that, you know, somebody's gotten good things. That the main one was the one I texted you about. I forgot even who it was. Carl Yon, is that who?
Carl
it was?
Yon, yeah.
They never found his ball, but they just what was the relief. Wording on that?
Yeah, it was basically his ball went into orbit, and yeah, find the wording because it's pretty good.
Virtual certainty. It went to the hospitality tent.
Virtual certainty. Oh man, that's good. Like
and then in a round the 500 people sitting in that tent, nobody saw it.
Nobody. I think it went more Brendan Steele, where it's like on the tee box 40 yards down the fairway of the next hole type situation a couple of years ago.
I think it flew it too, but I did text my buddies who I play golf with, and I did tell them that I will be using virtual certainty when we play golf this next year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it went out over here. And I get a drop over here is where I think it's going to be.
No, not even taking drops. I'm a drop, but free no relief. Penalties. Free relief, correct.
Right over here.
Some virtual certainty that it went in the hole.
Yeah, it's almost as bad as, at least when we do it, it's like valid. Like he literally went out of bounds is what you want to call it. He hit a foul ball or whatever you want to call it. But like when we golf with some of my buddies, if you know it was in play, it's like, where the heck did the ball? It's got to be over here somewhere. Kind of get like, hey, buddy's free drop. Let's just drop it over here. You think it is? Yeah. That's kind of what they're getting, but yet they didn't do it. I'm talking about at the same time.
I'm with you.
It's bizarre. And then Keegan Bradley goes about seven rows deep in the playoff hole, which was, he had probably the best angle in or whatever, and just completely craps the bed. That was wild. Grayson Murray gets the W. Back-to-back, people that gave up the booze winning on tour.
Yeah, newly sober dudes. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, dry relatively January. New sober guys. Yeah.
But they're like 12 months a year dry. So,
right. Yeah.
That's impressive stuff there. Joel Dahman, not sober. He on Friday missed a three-footer that could have sent the cut line to minus three, which would have been so much better for many lines. I know people have heard this a million times, so I'm not going to drag that on, but that was a wild one, but at least Joel being Joel puts out a tweet because he didn't realize it and then sees it in quote tweets and goes, hopefully I'm getting a lot of dinners this week. So good for Joel. I love Joel, but that stung. That three would have been nice.
Yeah. But I didn't follow along. I don't, you know, I mean, it's when we get to the Farmers is when I'll start really paying attention and watching a lot of golf because these early, like obviously – there's not a lot during the day with the Sony because they're in Hawaii and they don't, there's no PGA Tour Live. I think we get PGA Tour Live this week, but
we should.
Yeah. But it's like, it's not great.
It's on golf. Rather watch one and a half courses, I guess.
Yeah. I'd rather watch Torrey. I'd rather watch that field. Mm-hmm. And then kind of, you know, get real serious about golf at that point there. So
And at least when Tori's on two courses, like the other course is kind of like you have an idea of what's going to happen type thing. Where you got the Amex here, and I guess we'll just transition to that. Yeah, 3 days, down in La Quinta, California, Palm Springs, California. It's going to be beautiful. Should be nice. We got rain coming up north. I don't think it's going to get down there, but we'll keep an eye on it. The storm keeps changing. It might hold off at least till late Sunday or something. So they should be fine down there. But three rounds, three different golf courses with your amateur. 70 players make it to Sunday after the 54-hole cut. So just buckle up for pure chaos. I'll let Jesse talk about the rest of it, but it's a birdie fest. And as John Rahm once said, it's a effing putting contest. So you know where that one's going. So, Jesse, what do you have for some past event history for the American Express?
Yeah, two-time winner, John Rahm.
Yep. The last two winners are both on LIV.
Yeah.
That's a trend these days, by the way.
It is a trend. It's weird. People were, you know, talking about how, you know, when some people leave, it's like not that big of a deal. John Rahm, obviously, nobody said that really. But, when we look back at some of these past events, like there's a lot of LIV guys in it. But, yeah, John Rahm, champion last year for the second time. 27 under one shot over Davis Thompson. Hudson Swafford is also a two-time champion last year, or 2022. 23 under par. Two shots over Tom Hogue. Siwoo Kim was the 2021 champion, 23 under, one shot over Patrick Cantlay. Andrew Landry in 2020 was the champion, 26 under, two shots over Abe Anser. 2019 was the Adam Long year, 26 under, one shot over Hadwin and Phil. And then Rahm and Hudson Swafford went back to back. Again, 2018, 2017, which is really strange that.
Very strange.
That's worked out like that. So it, you know, as Patrick Reed's a past champion, Vegas past champion, Pat Perez past champion, Duffner. It's either like kind of like boom or bust. I mean, it's what it kind of looks like to me, because there's a lot of long shots have won this golf tournament.
Yep. Yeah. Long was like 600 to one. And that one, I remember that one very clearly because that was a big. What the heck moment type scenario.
Swafford was huge too, both years.
Yeah, that's true. Duffner had to have been too. That's the year we got the picture of doing the Duffner, whatever they called it, where he kind of leans against the wall thing. Yeah, long story. If you've been watching golf long enough, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, this is a weird one. Like, will I watch it? Yes, because I'm a degenerate. But at least it's not like – I like the evening golf in Hawaii, but the most tilting thing was knowing that half the golfers are on the course and I'm watching a replay of the day before because they can't show it, quote-unquote, until 7 Eastern or whatever, 6 Eastern. Yeah. And I'm like, this is beyond ridiculous.
I mean, if we're going to really fix golf, like that's got to be number one.
Yeah, like I get if it's like the butt crack of dawn and people are like sleeping or going to work or something, but literally, like – dude, you could control TV on a weekday night for like 9 hours.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Start it on the Golf Channel, move it to NBC for the finale. Like, but show as much as possible. It just blows my mind that that's not the case.
That was probably the most tilting thing of it all. Just like, what am I doing? I'm watching scores update on my phone while I'm watching the day before on TV. It was like the worst thing on the face of the planet. Yet here I am saying I was watching the replay on TV. So there you go.
Then they'll cut that off and then have Golf Central pregame to get you started. And then show some highlights of like live shots and then keep going back to talk about more about it. It's
baffling. Baffling stuff. But hey, we're growing the game. Three courses. As we mentioned, got PGA West Stadium course. That's the Pete Dye course. That's the course that everybody that makes the 3-day cut. They get to play on Sunday, par 72. Dye tried to make it reminiscent of TPC Sawgrass. Like there's an island green par 3. Water comes into play on 7 holes. It's a lot of illusion stuff. It's the hardest of the three courses. By no means is it very difficult. If you stay out of the water, you can still make it happen. The rough's basically non-existent. So it's, you know, an approach game, putting fest there too. The other two courses, you got the Jack Nicklaus course. You got the La Quinta Country Club. The two easiest courses La Quinta is by far the easiest, but Jack Nicklaus isn't far behind. Both par 72s. La Quinta's barely over 7,000 yards. Jack Nicklaus, 7,150. Not long golf courses. Water is in play on five or six holes, but you really shouldn't be in the water on those courses. I'm not going to get overly done on these courses for you guys. It's pretty simple. Like, if you can find the fairway, it's always better for your approach game, but the rough's not very penal on any of these golf courses. You just want to be in the fairway, though, so you can stick it close and win your putting contest, is what it comes down to. That's the key. Like, yeah. You can get there off out of the fairway, but you might not be able to control it as much. So, fairway, putting contest, that is, people are going to hate it, but that's pretty much what it looks like. There's obviously, it's a little less than half of the par fours on all three courses combined are 350 to 450. I've seen that a lot. You need to crush the par fives, especially on the two easy courses. That's your Eagle machines. Par three scoring is very important because that's the hardest thing on the stadium course. So if you can play well on par threes, that'll kind of elevate you a slightly ahead of the crew. But in the end, it's luck box putting. So enjoy the week. What do you got for this one?
I think you got it. Anything else to add?
Like, I could give you a million more stats I've read the last 2 days, but it's just like, in reality, it's fairway, get it close, get hot with the putter. That's how golf is. It's simple, but that's really all this is. These are resort courses. They're slow greens for the amateurs.
Yep. And it's set up easy, at least the first
pins are in easy spots to attack.
Don't want 8 hour rounds. Just 6 hour rounds are fine.
Yeah, like, this will feel like one of those Corn Ferry events where you see a guy win at 28 and you're just like, because there's firing off 900 rounds at will. That'll be the tilting thing. It'll be Saturday and the cut line will be like 7 or 8 under par. That's better than a Friday cut line at 7 or 8, which we've had, which is very tilting. Right. But you have a Saturday cut line at 7 or 8 under, so just buckle up for that as well, is what I'll say. All right, let's get into the DK picks for the week. And I'll say this much, really good field for the Amex. Yes. Usually it's like Phil, Cantlay, and Rahm, and then everybody else. This year's pretty sweet. Like,
it is.
Yeah, you got Scheffler and company here. So 10K range, we got some legit options, but Scottie Scheffler, 11-4, which, the irony, if it's a putting contest, is he really the best player in the field? That's the question. But yeah, Scheffler, 11-4. Xander at 10-9, Cantlay at 10-8, Sungjae at 10-1. Who are you liking up top?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Scotty is very playable. Everybody knows about him. Cantlay's got the course history, 26th, 9th, 2nd, and 9th in his last four starts here, so never missed a cut, and pretty much finishes inside the top 25. Obviously, you need better than that at this price, but I think he'll be very playable. I really like Sungjae M. He's made the cut the last five times here, 18th, 11th, 12th, 10th, and 12th. It's going to be a big year for Sungjae, coming off a fifth-place finish over in Hawaii at the tournament champion. So Sungjae's the guy that I'm going to I would for sure play in this range. I mean, Scotty is definitely playable. So is Cantlay. So is Xander. But I feel like, you know, Sungjae gets overlooked, especially when he's up by these guys.
100%. Obviously, all these guys are worth it, like you said. Scotty makes me laugh. He's number one in my model, even though he's 137th in this 156 golfer field in putting over the last 24 rounds, and he's 99th in par three scoring, or 99 out of 156. So he's horrible in two categories, like really bad, still first in the model. That's how Scotty Scheffler is. It's just stupid. But yeah, you can play any of these guys. Cantlay's got a massive amount of course history here, and he'll be popular, but so does Sungjae. So I'm with you. Like, I love playing Sungjae. I'll say it now. The way I build my lineups for this week, I treat it like a no cut event. Just like, I want guys to go crazy for three rounds. If they make it to Sunday, even better. But and Sungjae is that birdie machine. We saw it in the tournament champions, finished fifth. But I think DK scoring, he was probably first or second, just because he had all those birdies. That's what we want. So like opportunities gained is tremendous in this one. If you're looking at modeling or whatnot, birdie or better is obviously Sungjae's fourth in this field, and birdie or better, he's the best in this top 10 range over the last 24 rounds. This 10K range, I mean. So I love Sungjae. I'm with you. I totally agree. Like, I think he's in for a huge season. Pretty much when we do, I hope you guys enjoyed the Underdog Best Ball Show. I think I have him in all of my leagues so far. I only done like two or three, but I think I have Sungjae on every team. It's just like, I want as much Sungjae as possible. And that includes DFS. So I'm with you on something.
Are you showing him the lowest owned of the top four there?
That's true. Let me pull this up since we are recording on Tuesday. I got some better projection numbers here.
Because I am.
As it loads,
here we go. It's not even particularly close on the projections.
Mine's different. Mm-hmm. If you do calculated ownership, or do you want to do actual Fantasy National ownership? Thanks to calculated ownership. He is third. Scotty's the lowest.
Oh, really?
Scotty at 14.5, Xander 17.4, Cantley 20.4, Sungjae 19.8%. Yeah, I think it'll be pretty spread out up top. I think this is one of those, as people keep building lineups, Stars and Scrubs will be pretty popular this week. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see a lot more Scotty as people build. That's just it. It is weird, though. Even like in his monster run last year, at least it felt like, tell me if I'm wrong, it felt like Scotty was underowned a lot until eventually people said, screw it, I'm just playing Scotty. But there's a long stretch there where people were like, no, we're not paying for Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, that I agree with that. And then, I mean, also he like would finish top five but not win. And
yeah,
he's always highest price. So people were fading for that reason. And 100%. It worked out for him because he was obviously my the golfer that I lost the most money on last year.
That's so. Right. I didn't mean to bring that up. Sorry. But, well, if it makes people feel better when looking at the models, at least I have here, I mentioned birdie or better with Sungjae. If you do opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds, Scotty's number one. So he does give you tons of chances. Just make some dang putts.
Yeah.
Maybe if these slower, easier greens, he might just go bananas. 9K range, you got Tom Kim at 99, who had a good showing here his first go around. You got Justin Thomas making his debut of 2024 at 98, J-Day at 96, Min Woo Lee at 95. Let him cook. I can't wait for him to tour this year. Sam Burns at 94, Finau 93, Fowler 92, Poston 91, Kirk 9,000. Obviously, you could start here and skip the 10K if you feel like it because it's pretty nice.
Yeah, there's plenty of options here. Obviously, Tom Kim at 99 finished sixth here last year, did miss the cut in 21. You know, he won this past fall. I think he's going to have a big year. I think he's very playable. Justin Thomas, if you want to take a look and see, wait and see approach with him, I would get it, especially at this price. I feel like this is a huge price for him, in this field, given last year's results. Now, more recently, he's finished fourth at the Nedbank Golf Challenge on the DP World Tour. And then fifth at the Fortnite, and Wyndham, he finished 12th. So three straight pretty good finishes for JT. We know his pedigree. We know how good he is when he's on. But I'll be interested to see if a lot of people do take that kind of wait-and-see approach with him. And then dip down to the very bottom for me, JT Poston, 9,100, 6th, 25th in his last two starts here. Come off a sixth-place finish at the Sony Open, fifth at the Tournament of Champions. Really good start to the year for JT Poston, 9,100. I think he is most certainly in play. And then last, Chris Kirk, 9,000. Obviously won the Tournament of Champions. We know that. Played at the Sony Open, finished 18th. Solid showing. And then third here last year. Now, he did miss the cut in 22, 16th and 21. Missed cut, 21st. So, you know, it's kind of been up and down. But third place finish here last year is pretty solid.
Not too bad. Just couldn't putt over the weekend. Otherwise, he might have went back to back. Like, he was playing some good golf. So I'm with you there. Yeah, for me in this range, I think JT is definitely worth the flyer if you're making a handful of lineups. Because I know, again, I'm going to reference our underdog show a lot, so I hope you guys listen to it and enjoy it. But we talked about JT as a great one to take a chance on this year. He's going to play a ton because he wants to qualify for the big money at the end. And I think he's got to prove something. Like you mentioned, the way he finished, the dude's grinding his ass off, and he put in some nice finishes towards the end of the year. I think that's going to carry over. And JT, when on, is one of the best guys in a birdie fest. We've always said that, especially DK scoring-wise. He's like a Sungjae. He just goes fire in at stuff. So he could literally shoot even one day and 9 under the next day, and no one would be shocked. That's how JT rolls. So I think he's definitely a guy at 98. I like Minwoo Lee at 95. I think a big year's ahead for him. Finished up on the Euro Tour with at least one win and a couple of big finishes. He played great. So I like Minwoo. Poston, he's third in my model. He's playing phenomenal golf, as you mentioned. Should be pretty popular. I got Kirk checked off as well. So it's a very fun range here. If you do want to look at ownership per se, your chalk in this range is JT Poston at about 21%, give or take. Then it's kind of spread out. JT's coming in about 10%, which I think is pretty awesome if you like some JT on this one. Justin Thomas, that is, not JT Poston. All right, 8K range, got Wyndham at 89, who I heard rumors Wyndham's debating going to live to play with John Rahm. That would be fun. Eric Cole at 88, Lowry at 87, Siwoo at 86, Cam Davis 84, Hadron 83, Bhatia 82, Taylor Montgomery 81, Berger is back at 8,000. That's your boy. And Andrew Putnam at $8,000. So fun little 8K range here. What you got?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, Eric Cole, 8,800.
Just keep playing him.
Talk about him week in, week out. He just turns out top 15s. The last two tournaments have been inside the top 15. Before that, he was inside the top three consecutive times. Lowry at 8,700. He's never played here, but the model seems to like him. I'm playing the DP World Tour. Two straight 18th place finishes over there. Did finish third at the Irish Open, which was early September. Siwoo at 8,600. I mean, like, there's just certain courses you can just play Siwoo. Obviously, he's won here. He's a what you would consider a Pete Dye specialist. And he can play terribly and then all of a sudden go to a golf course that he likes and win out of nowhere. So 8,600 is fine for him. Adam Hadwin has the course history. I mean, the dude's never missed a cut here, at least back to 2016 that I have. His worst finish was 32nd in 2021. He shot 59 here, I think, one year. The course history, he's coming off a missed cut. And Adam Hadwin is kind of sketch sometimes, but when he comes here, he just plays well. So he's probably going to be 1,000% owned and is very much cash worthy this year, this week. Taylor Montgomery at 8,100 finished fifth here last year. Is coming off a 13th place finish last week. Was eighth at the RSM earlier, you know, back in the fall. So he's been playing well in 8,100. I think he's playable there. I did realize over the weekend that I have been saying Ashkay instead of Akshay.
I've been saying that too. I didn't even notice until you just said it.
I just once read it. I looked
at his name. I'm like,
Ashkay. Oh, yeah. But it's actually Ak. So it's Akshay.
Call me stupid.
So, yeah, Akshay. So,
good call.
There you go. The only reason I know that is because I was kind of following him last week. I bet him, but finished 13th. I mean, I think he's fine. His course history is not great in this event. Miscut the last 2 years, so, or last two times he's played. Now, of course, this is probably a better version of him. So, if you wanted to go that route, I would not blame you.
And he's basically a top 20 machine of late. He had a 21st in there. I'm going to call him a top 20 machine. Yep. That's kind of nice reliability to throw out there. And we've seen him go very low at times. Like, you look at Akshay, ninth and birdie or better in the field, first in proximity 150 to 175. Not too bad. So I'm with you there. Taylor Montgomery at 81, I like as well. He's third in birdie or better in this field, sixth in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds. Putnam at 8K is very, very intriguing to me. He's coming in with a decent week last week. That was the event history. 8K Putnam finished 10th last week, 40th at the Century. So had a little nice trip to Hawaii. He was fifth at the Worldwide Technology in the fall. So he's playing good golf. You look at event history here. He's made at least five straight cuts. I'm going back to 2019 with nothing worse than a 36. Got a couple base, three top 21s or better in that mix. So I like some Putnam as well. You mentioned Hadwin. Hadwin's going to be popular and for good reason. So I'm not going to knock that at all. A couple others I want to mention. Siwoo, like you said, Pete Dye guy. Plus, if you want a guy just to fire away at things, that's Siwoo. Like, to have that whole DGAF attitude, that's your dude. Eric Cole. You mentioned him, but there's some stats that stood out while you were talking. So he's fourth in my model over the last 24 rounds. Fifth in approach. First in birdie or better. He's first in DK scoring. First in strokes gain total, first in par fours, 350 to 400, first in par threes. Like, that's ridiculous.
That's pretty good.
That's like, I'm just staring at that when you're talking. I'm like, holy crap. So, like, I know he's going to be popular. Like, just looking at the early ownership on Cole, it's about 18%. He's the most popular one in the 8K range, him and Taylor Montgomery. Sometimes there's good chalk, folks, as we talk about. And Cole's just a dude that needs to be priced up one of these days. I don't know what they're waiting for, but he keeps getting priced where it's just like, okay, guess we're going to eat that chalk this week. And that's just how it's going to go. 75 to 79, you got Willie Z, Jagerbombs, Pendrith, Norin, Hostler, Mitchell, Horschel, Aaron Rye, Davis Thompson, Schenck, Dietrich, Hoagie, Cooch, EVR, Ryo, Nick Taylor. Who do you like here?
Yeah, so the top is Steven Yeager. His course history is not what you really love to see, but 36 miscut. He's by far playing the best golf of his life coming into this event. So still hasn't missed a cut in forever. 18th last week, very playable. Alex Noren at 7,800. Miscut 40th, 14th in his three starts here beginning in 2022. But this past year, or more recently, playing really solid golf. He was around the lead, I think, at one point last
week. He had a great opening round.
Yeah, finished, you know, not very good on Sunday, but 42nd, another made cut for him, another cash check there. Taylor Pendrith at 78. Course history is not great, coming off a 10th place finish, though, last week. Davis Thompson finished second here last year to John Rahm and hasn't missed a cut since the 3M Open back in July. And then last but not least for me, EVR, 7,500. 2 of 2 made cuts here, 6th last year, 56th in 2021. And it's just been making a bunch of cuts, including a win at the WWT Championship there back in November. So, yeah, that's where I'm kind of looking in this range.
Yep, Jaeger bombs for me as well. He's 6th in par 5 scoring for the last 24 rounds. Crazy that he's only 117th in opportunities gained, yet he's continually going low and making cuts. That one's interesting to me. Keith Mitchell, he doesn't rate out great in the model, but when you look at past event history at this course, 22nd last year, he had a big season last year for Killer Keith standards, and he finished 30th last week, missed the cut of the RSM, but then 38th, 21st. He's a guy I think could be like one of the lower roster guys in this range. Davis Thompson should be popular. I'm kind of wishy-washy there, but he did finish great last year, like you said. I like Shank, 22nd in my model. Great approach game. Par 3, he's 10th in par 3 scoring. Not great here, though. Back-to-back missed cuts. Yeah, and they made 3 cuts prior to that, though. I think we can all agree Shank's playing much better golf, too. Like 29th of the century, 19th at the RSM. Had just an amazing, or for him, an amazing 2023 season. And then a few others. I'm with you on EVR. Keep riding this train. He's 8th in my model. That's been your boy for a long time, and he's crushing 4th in approach, 10th in birdie or better, 10th in par 5, 3rd in DK, 5th in strokes gained total in the last 24 rounds. That'll rate out very well. Hoagie, he's 14th in my model. He's 5th in opportunities gained. He loves this event. He loves pro-ams. He's a great approach player. So I think Hoagie could be another one. And then I will say Nick Taylor, model won't look great, played well last week, plays well in pro-ams, played well here. And then Ryu, I'm going to keep talking about this kid. He had a good week last week. It was kind of like a blah for a little bit, finished 30th. Again, he finished 6th of the Zozo. Dude's got some talent at $7,500, and will get basically unowned with Nick Taylor, who finished 7th last week here. You got Ben Griffin right below, who we'll talk about in a minute. I think Ryu, if you need a low on play at 75, could be a dude as well. Who do you like in 7K to 74?
Yeah, Matt Wallace at 74.
You're all over that last week. That was good.
Yeah. Dude, what'd you say?
I said you were all over him last week. That was good.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry.
He played well last week. He made the cut, finished 52nd, but never played here.
I saw him on TV. I was shocked.
Yeah, I was kind of tilting whenever I – because he was kind of close up there on the leaderboard for a little bit, and then again, didn't have a very good Sunday. But Matt Wallace, 7,400 playable. Ben Griffin, another guy who was around the lead last week, didn't have a very good finish, shot 62 on Friday, and 32nd here in his one start. Nicholas Lindham, miscut 50th in his three starts here, but been playing better of late. 2 straight top 30s for him on tour. Cebes, 2 of 2 made cuts here. 11th last year, 40th the year before, coming off a 9th place finish at the Joburg Open over on the DP World Tour back in November. Matthias Schmid at 7,200, 6th here last year, but 2 consecutive missed cuts for him. He didn't miss it by much last week, so take that for what it's worth. Ben Coles at 7,100, missed the cut here last year, but 2 straight made cuts for him. On tour, Grayson Murray, obviously coming off a win, and then he's going to be $7,100. I don't know why you wouldn't go back. He's played here plenty. Miscut 10th, miscut 14th, 12th. So when he makes the cut, he actually ends up finishing pretty high. Garrick Higo at 7,000 is another guy. 11th year last year, made the cut last week. And then last for me, Dylan Wu, 32nd here last year, 42nd last week.
Yep, we have a lot of similar plays in this range. I love Ben Griffin. Had him in two out of the three lineups last week. Like you said, it was kind of a blah weekend, but the dude showed he can go low. That's what we want this week. So I'll take my chance with Benny. Austin Ekrot as well. He had a really, really nice week. Ekrot, where did he go here? 73. Finished 42nd. He had a bad weekend, I should say. But 8th at the RSM, 23rd at the Worldwide Technology. That was nice. And then he missed the cut here last year in his debut. So take that for what you wish. But he was playing pretty well last weekend. You got Alex Smalley, who has actually played pretty decent at this event last time I looked. Man, there's so many freaking names down here. Yeah, Smalley's a guy I like. Why can't I find him anywhere? There it is. It's 22nd and 25th the last 2 years here. So Smalley is one that is on the board for me. Brandon Wu, who you mentioned, Seabez, who you mentioned, Schmid, who you mentioned. I like all of them. I love Ben Coles, who you mentioned. Another nice week last week for him. I'm surprised he wasn't priced higher. He was only 7K last week. So I figured he'd get a bump in this field. Did not happen. So he should be pretty popular. A couple others down here, though. Michael Kim at 71 is a guy I'd look at. You know, he's missed both cuts when he's been here. But obviously playing really, really good golf as he keeps improving. And his Twitter game is bar none one of the better ones out there. He finished 42nd last week, 23rd at the WWT. And then Patton Kizzire is another guy I would take a peek at here. He's coming in off of his last 3 years here, 11th, 22nd, and 53rd. So course history is nice. Finished 13th last week, made three straight cuts to finish off 2023. And then last but not least here in the 7K range, oh, you mentioned Garrett Higo. That was the dude. So I think he's interesting as well. Who you liking in the 6K range?
Not a lot, but I do have a couple guys. Alejandro Tosti. I think I mentioned him last week. Yep. And then he actually kind of showed up pretty well on Thursday. Didn't have a great Friday. Had a terrible Saturday and then come back. Came back and had a good round four. So he's a Korn Ferry grad. I think he's very playable. Matt Neesmith just seems like too low to me. I know he's missed three straight cuts here. He did finish 17th here in 2020, but hasn't missed a cut since the Fortnights back in September. And then last but not least, Harrison Endicott, 22nd here last year, has missed three straight cuts on tour, but there's an article out about him and the fact that he just recently got sober.
Well, we know that trend.
I mean, the trend
is there.
It's 2 for 2 so far this year. And so I bet him already, and he's definitely playable at 6,200.
I like that. Kevin is in the chat. Our boy Kevin says, nobody putts like Jesse. He'd be $10,000 player on the DK. That's pretty good stuff there. Okay, Kevin joined in on this one. A couple of guys in the 6K range, like Vincent Whaley, he's playable. He's 25th in my model. The form's up and down, but we're in the 6K range, don't forget. 40th miscut, 29th in his three visits here from 2020 to 2022. And recently miscut last weekend, but then 13th, the RSM, 8th of Bermuda. So finished 23 strong. Will Gordon at 69 is another guy we played a lot. Carl Yong, I wanted to mention him. He's $6,900, finished 4th last week. It was a nice finish, and it wasn't just last week for Carl Yong. It was 68th of the RSM, 4th of the Bermuda. So
that's a really good
last three events, 4th in both of them. He proved he can go very, very low. He just kind of trunk slammed at the end there. We talked about him going off the grid, basically. So
getting a hell of a drop, though.
Yeah, hell of a drop to keep that 4th place finish, which all things considered, when three guys at the playoff, he was one shot off. Harry Hall at 68 is always a guy in these events. I love T-Dunks in these events. He'll be popular, though, at 67th. And then the really cheap ones, like you mentioned, like Endicott is interesting. Burgoon got in. He's got great course history. Overall form, not great. I have to ask you, Teets is $6,200. Hasn't played since 21, but I got three straight made cuts, 40th, 68th, and 40th. In his last three trips here. So Teeter at 61 is another, if you want to punt, or 62, him and Endicott down here. I do have Endicott there. So Teets is interesting, though, but Endicott may be better. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm with you.
Teeter can't putt. I would not play him here. I mean, I don't know. He's made three straight cuts here.
Yeah, that was a while ago. But
unless he figures it out.
Worth asking.
I'm with you. No, I don't blame you. I'm just –
No, I think Endicott. I'd rather have Endicott if someone wants to pivot. Because, like, if we're talking down here in 62 world.
Yeah, no.
Well, Endicott's
down there, too.
Oh, yeah. Blocky.
6,000.
6K flat. Mm-hmm. like Endicott's projected to be 3% rostered down here, which is really high actually for a 6K guy. It's still not high enough to be worried. But my point is, Teeter's like less than one.
Was that the Mayo bump, you think?
Probably.
It's got to be.
It's got to be.
I know Mayo already mentioned it or tweeted out that. I think he tweeted out that.
No, that makes sense then.
That article or whatever, and already bet him. So
yeah, lovely. At least you got the number before it got Mayo juiced. So that's good. Let's recap the plays real quick. 10K range, who you got?
I'm going to say Sungjae.
Sungjae, yeah. That's. I'm going to sadly take with you. I'm not going to be cute and try to take someone different. I love Sungjae up here. 9K range.
It's hard not to take Poston. I'm just going to say Poston.
All right, I'll go JT. Justin Thomas, that is. So it sucks that they're in the same range. You just can't say JT every time. give me Justin Thomas. 8K range.
Eric Cole.
Yeah, those stats are freaking dumb. I'll let you have them, though, because at least there's other options here. Give me Akshay Bhatia. 75 to 79.
Jaeger
bombs. I like Shank. That's a good range, though. EVR is down there too. Those are a couple strong ones. 7K to 74.
I'm gonna say Matt Wallace.
I'm gonna go back to Ben Griffin. I like his going low ability, and then 6K.
I like your Carl Young call, man. I missed clicking his name whenever I was going through there, so. You have turned me on there. I'm going to go that route.
Yeah, it's like, and he's less than, he's 2.8% projected. Like, that's pretty freaking low. I thought he'd be higher just off coming off of last week, the way people, recency bias.
Right. So,
that's interesting. I will not play cash this week. Because, like I said, I treated this as a no-cut event. You'll go full tilt on this one. I think you're cool with that.
100%.
Yeah, let's talk GPP, though. If you're starting out a GPP lineup, which this is kind of what it's for, who are three players you'll start with?
Yeah, Sungjae, Siwoo, and then Carl Yong, just all the Asians.
There you go, Team Asia. Give me Sungjae. Justin Thomas, and then give me Carl Yong. I'm going to sink or swim with Thomas. I might be a week or two early, but I have a weird – at that price point, hopefully lower. Like I said, what's his projected ownership I was looking at a second ago? JT projected 10%. He's basically projected. That's him and, well, Poston's the big one in that range, but then JT and those guys everywhere else. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right. Picks to win. Who you got this week?
Yeah. Like I said, I already bet. What's his name down there?
Eckroat.
Yeah. No, Endicott.
Endicott.
So otherwise, I mean, could sprinkle some on Hadwin at 50. Siwoo at 50 is always live there. Jaeger at 65 eventually is going to break through, you would think, one of these big events or bigger events. And then, like, kind of toward the top there, Tom Kim at 25 and Sungjae at 20.
Yeah, long shots can win here. So I like the idea of a shank at 80-1, EVR at 100-1.
I mean, like, really deep.
Yeah, you can get crazy. Yeah, you can get deeper.
Didn't Sam Stevens play pretty well last
week? Yeah, he had one really, really strong round, and then he kind of putted around after that.
Let me see what, because he ended up finishing 24th. Okay. Yeah. But he was right there, and then Sunday just shit himself. One over at that golf course. You have no chance. But the first 3 days he played really well, so, and then I think got in contention and then they quit showing him on TV. Sam Stevens at 180-1 is another guy.
Yeah, you got like Hoagie's 130, Carl Yon's 150. You can get Carl Yon to top 10 at 12-1. He's got two top fours in two of the last three events. Started out there. Obviously it's golf and a lot can go crazy, but that's an interesting price point. I'm just having fun with some of these deeper guys because, man, Chesson Hadley, I remember seeing him. He's actually done well here from time to time. He's boom or bust. Not playing him, though. Just throwing that name out there because he stood out. But yeah, you mentioned Neesmith. Is 300-1 on Neesmith strike your fancy at all? Probably not. You can say no.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the you just never know at this place. I mean, literally, it's insane. One year, John Rahm wins, or 1 year – John Rahm wins, the next year somebody you've never heard of wins. I mean,
there's some fun names down there. What if Carson Young finally figures it out? That would be glorious. The week I'm not on him. You can play Michael Block at 1,000 to 1.
Yeah, that's it. Don't bet that.
Yeah, don't. I'm just saying you could.
I would like to bet him to not make the cut.
That would be fun after a 3-round event not to make the cut with. Oh man, the problem is it still wouldn't shut up. He would still be everywhere. Like it's unbelievable.
For sure.
Like props to him. He's getting sponsors and doing his thing. But good lord. It's wild. Wow. Like Kevin is a PGA pro that should be doing this. Let's go.
Yes, 100%. He's got a good personality. And well, he's a hell of a dude.
And every night after the round, they could hang out at the pit. The pit is lit. It'd be great. It'd be fun stuff. But all right, final thoughts on the Amex. We get at least Torrey next week, which I love. I absolutely love Torrey golf. So what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's not the best week to like go hard. So, you know, it's okay to relax and just look forward to next week. It should be a really fun tournament. And then the next couple months is really good golf.
You got Farmers next week. You got Pebble Beach, which is elevated the week after. Then you got the Phoenix Open while the Super Bowl's going on. So we got some real – like Pebble will actually be fun this year because of the elevated event factor and only two courses involved. So we'll see. We'll have fun this week. At least I'll play. Like, that's not going to be the problem. But just buckle up. Pure chaos, birdie fest, limited TV production, all the kind of stuff we expect with PGA Tour golf. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intric. This is your 2024 The American Express DFS Preview. Catch you all next time.